At Amphipolis, Cleon and Brasidas met in battle. According to Thucydides, Cleon acted prematurely, and as a result, his troops engaged the Spartans too soon. At any rate, the Athenians lost the Battle of Amphipolis. However, Cleon and Brasidas were killed in it. And yet, even in death, Thucydides has nothing good to say about Cleon. He says that he never intended to stand his ground, but that he fled and was speared in the back as he ran away. In fact, Thucydides speaks more glowingly of Brasidas' death. And yet Brasidas was the enemy. By the way, the Athenian assembly resolved to kill all the men of Scione and enslave the women and children. Now that's precisely what Cleon had advocated for Mytilene in 427. And look how he was ripped apart for that by Thucydides. Now, the Athenians, by the way, will actually do the same thing to the little island of Melos in the Cyclades in 416. So again, what Cleon had proposed in 427 was not uncommon. Cleon, I think, was one of the better demagogues, and I think that he doesn't deserve the bad press that Thucydides, Aristophanes, and even a century later the Athenian constitution give him. Cleon may well have had a hidden agenda. He may well have acted in the city's best interests at times and in his own best interests at times. But I think he was right to reject the Spartan overtures for peace in 425, and he did engineer a great victory at Sphacteria in 424. Cleon saw the need to counter Spartan influence in the north. And although he was clearly not the man to beat Brasidas in battle, he did lead a force north, and he did stand against him. He wasn't a coward. We have no evidence to support Thucydides' account of how Cleon died, or that he was thinking of deserting. How would Thucydides know what was going through Cleon's mind anyway? The one person in these years who doesn't command much respect is Nicias, but no one says anything bad about him. Why not? He's an aristocrat. He's from the right side of the tracks. Now, the Battle of Amphipolis was decisive in that Brasidas' death ended Spartan policies in the north, and Cleon's death allowed Nicias to dominate the assembly. Both sides were ready for peace, and after negotiations during the winter of 422-421, the Peace of Nicias was agreed to in March of 421. It was supposed to last for 50 years, and among its terms was that Sparta would remain hegemon of the Peloponnesian League, and Athens would remain hegemon of its empire. Athens was also supposed to restore Pylos and return the prisoners of war from Sphacteria, and Sparta was supposed to hand over Amphipolis. However, neither side honored this part of the deal, and to make matters worse, the key Spartan allies of Corinth, Megara, and Boeotia refused to agree to the peace. They refused to sign it. Corinth was still after blood from its defeats at the hands of the Athenians off Corcyra and at Potidaea. Megara was still smarting from the Megarian decree, plus Athens held its port, Nicaea. And during the peace negotiations that led to the Peace of Nicias, the Spartans could have insisted on the Athenians returning Nicaea to Megara, but they didn't, so that upset the Megarians. Finally, the Boeotians, under the terms of the peace, had to hand over a border fortress called Panactum to Athens. They not only refused to hand it over, but they destroyed it. So in 421, the big question was not whether the Peace of Nicias would last for 50 years, but how long would it last before hostilities broke out again? And what direction would the war take after hostilities broke out again? We'll find out the answers to these questions in our next lecture. Thank you very much.